Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. I'm Jerry. Max and Edward are here. Hello, guys. Hi.
Synchronized salute there. Love that.
So, guys, we have, like, cold rain here, but I'm in America. In England, you're sort of covered with a blanket, are you not?
Yeah, we are.
That's freezing. Absolutely freezing.
Getting called beast from the east, apparently.
Oh, I hate it when they do stupid like things like that, and then they crack out the little puns. It was funny at first, but then it just like starts going downhill. And I know I sound like a hypocrite for that, but it's worse than it's on TV.
To me, it's just a shitload of snow, really, isn't it? It's just snow and icy winds.
See, the whole thing, I think the worst part of it is now that there was sort of a break in between the snow and coming down. So the snow comes down, it starts melting a bit, so then it turns to ice. Then the new snow comes down and starts covering up the ice. So that's...
Yeah, I know. I didn't even... Because apparently there was quite a bit of coverage and it was expected, but I just literally did no reading up on it at all. Like, I woke up one morning, looked out the window, and everywhere was just white. I was like, whoa. I didn't expect it because, like, the weather before was just average and normal, and the next thing, it's like we're in Lapland or something.
So... Over there, see, here, when it snows, it really, almost everybody has a car and drives to work, drives to school and all that stuff. I am under the impression that you guys don't drive as much. So does this halt your day as much as it would over here?
Not really.
No, you just I wouldn't want to drive anyway around central Manchester because I'm right in the middle of Manchester. It just doesn't seem like a very appealing place to drive because there's traffic everywhere and all you hear is horns going off. So it's been 10 times worse with this weather. And to be honest, I don't even like going outside when the weather's like this. So it doesn't affect me in any way whatsoever.
I mean, what I would normally do, I'd be going to the gym, but it's too cold, so I won't be doing that. But Any way I travel is really by bus, but all the routes get covered, so it doesn't really affect me in a way with the travel. Buses are fine because all the major roads they go on and it all gets gristed, so easy.
See, a lot of people who live in northern U.S. always give southern U.S. folk a little flack because like. Just even a little bit of snow, a lot of times, if it creates any ice on like any back road, we cancel school because a lot of kids are bussed into school, you know, and any little bit of ice on one of those back roads that's really guarded by trees or whatever, by shade, any little bit of ice puts kids in danger. And so if there's any ice on the roads at all, they will cancel school. So I think this year alone already, this school year, they've already had like 5-6 snow days already.
I've had university being cancelled. So I've basically been locked away doing assignments in my flat. Just as fun, I can assure you.
Yeah.
I think definitely this week, it's a lot of schools have been affected. Especially in like the like Blackburn and interesting enough Burnley areas as well. So a lot of schools are closing. Liverpool as well. That's been massively affected where I've been going at the minute with it. But like you say, most of the major roads have been gritted and that, so people can get to places, but it's those little side roads and the pavements really that people need to watch out for us.
Well, we will get into more about the weather in just a little bit because we have to address how the weather might impact a certain match this weekend. However, just to make sure for the people who are listening via podcast, you can't see it right now, but Edward is currently wearing a dazzlingly spectacular third kit, Everton glorious. Third kit. It is glorious.
In the sale.
I'm assuming you got like 50% off, yeah? And it is the number 19 jersey of one Umar Nias.
Our prince.
All right.
Our king.
Yeah. So just making sure everybody knows, Edward is in full uniform today. So, and he even saluted for you. So there's that. So speaking of the pod people, really quick, lineup. This is a little bit of a more abbreviated show with only three segments. We are going to start with the Burnley preview and talk to you about what we might have to deal with this weekend. Next, we're going to talk about, there's a story that came out in the newspapers a couple of days ago about Moshiri and planning for life after Allardyce. So we'll go into that particular bit of news. And we'll finish up more different kind of rumors about Mikel Arteta. The possibility of him being on the short list for the managerial job. It's a different story, different rumors, possibly just as realistic or not at all. Possibly just as unrealistic. We have no idea about this stuff. So we're just going to analyze it, though, because that's what we do. So, gentlemen, let us talk about Burnley. They currently sit in our coveted seventh position in the table. They have 37 points. They're 9, 10, and 9. That record, I feel like it just epitomizes what Burnley has been doing recently. It's very balanced and even. Okay, they've recently drew with Southampton. There's a shock, 1-1. They lost to Swansea before that, 1-0, and they drew with Man City before that, 1-1. The last time they won a game was a 1-0 win over Stoke on December 12th, 2017. So they've been drawing a lot and losing a lot, mainly draws though. All right, they just haven't been winning a lot. And as you know, as an Everton supporter, we see that, and that's an immediate red flag for us, because we tend to stop the streaks.
Yeah.
So let's be a little more optimistic though. Big injuries for Burnley. You know, I wasn't trying to link optimism with their injuries, so let's just say don't. All right, it's a new subject. All right. Big injuries for Burnley at the moment. Brady, DeFour, Heaton, Walters, and Arfield is it out. The rest of them are probably out. Tarkowski and Chris Wood are both in contention to return. So if Tarkowski is healthy, he's probably going to start. So really quickly go in their possible starters. Pope, Lotan, me, Tarkowski, Ward, Aaron Lennon. Aw, we know that guy. Westwood, Cork, Goodmanson, Hendrick, and then either Ashley Barnes or Chris Wood. I'm thinking they'll start with Barnes and Wood will come in because he's been injured. That tends to happen with strikers that have been hurt. So here's our news. We sort of don't know it yet because Sam hasn't done his pre-match conference
as of recording.
We don't know what the status of Coleman is. We don't know what the status of Baines is. And we don't know the status of Funes Mori. All right. Mm-hmm. So possible starters. Edward, give me your possible starters.
Are we saying what we'd like to be in the lineup or what we think is going
to
be in the lineup?
That's a good thing to make clear, because recently our lineups have been making it to Twitter and people think that that's our chosen lineup. No, we are predicting what we think Allardyce is doing.
Yeah, I got a bit of slack for saying I'd start Nias up front when clearly, I think I'm on the same wavelength of every other Evertonian and wanting Tosin
to get a
few games under his belt. But given that Nias did score against Crystal Palace, then, you know, he deserved that start against.
You got to be careful, Max. You're saying this in front of Nias superfan number 19 over here. So
it's all right. It'll look bad at the end of the season.
All right, Edward, what's your starters, man? Your starters for Allardyce. What do you think he's going to do?
Pickford, Kenny, Keane, Williams, Martina, Gay, Schneiderlin. Walcott, Rooney, Sigurdsson, Nias.
So you are making a choice to omit Davies.
Yeah, basically, okay. I think he's gonna. I reckon he's gonna have that mentality that formation won't work for him again. So he's gonna go back to the other one.
Ah, okay.
That's what I think he's gonna do. Not what I would want to do, but...
Okay. Max, what do you got?
sticking with the same system because the performance, as we said, against Watford wasn't all that bad. Yes, I know what away again, our away form isn't great, and there's an argument to be made that we might set up more defensively, but you know, Pickford, Kenny, Keane and Williams, because that seems to be the pair that he's most comfortable with. Martina, Gay, Rooney, Davies, Walcott. I'm going to say it. I'm going to go with Tosin. I'm going to say that Tosin starts and Sigurdsson.
Okay. So, we have very similar stuff here, guys. I think I'm one off from Edward and I'm one off from Max. So we're thinking similar things. I would say my lineup is more similar to Max's in formation, because I do think he's going to still stick with that same midfield trio. Pickford, Kenny, Keane, Williams, Martina, Gay, Rooney, Davies, Sigurdsson, Walcott. And the toughest one to pick for me was Nias or Tosun, you know, because Nias didn't score last game.
Do you want to pick the one in form or the one who needs game time?
You know what I mean? And so the thing is, I sort of think that Big Sam, because he almost was still talking a little bit of trash about Tosun last time, which I think is unwarranted. I think he'll start Nias. Maybe he saw that Tosun didn't look bad the other day, and he didn't. He controls the ball well. He holds people off. He did manage to have a couple of near chances on goal there, kind of near the end. He's a good player. I do think, and he's a better passer than Nias. All right. I think he been in that position that Umar was first half, squaring that ball over to Walcott, I think Tosin makes that pass. You know, but Nias gets.
But has he got? The whole thing, I think, has he got that grit and determination that Nias has?
And you know, I think he does have that, but it's a different kind. All right.
Yeah.
I think Nias is faster. All right, which is why I think you play him against Burnley. I think Nias is good when he's in a stark contradiction to the other team's center backs. You know, I think he's just a very different player than the two center backs for Burnley. I think, but playing him against Watford, I don't think it was as good of a matchup for him. You know,
that's a very good point that you've made there, really. In regards to Tosin, it really depends on, I think, if he's able to against this Burnley defence to peel off and kind of play on the shoulder and look to get in behind, because his hold up play, yes, did look impressive. He laid off a good few balls against Watford, but you know, with against this Burnley side, unless his hold up play is at least an 8 out of 10 in this game, they're gonna go through him. And like you say, Nias does come across more suited to a game like this.
Yeah, I think both players could end up having good matches against Burnley, but right now that's just where I would go. However, here's something we need to make sure we're considering, guys. Snow. Snow. So much snow. Number one, is there even going to be a game? And number two, how does snow impact lineup, style, and all that stuff? Edward, you're about to explode.
Yeah, I know Burnley basically put out something on their website saying we are going to be working very hard with like the officials, and we're going to get more volunteers in to basically sweep out as much snow as they can. So they are going to be making sure that game goes ahead, because one, you know, it's obviously a football game. People are coming out to give up their weekend for it. And Sky are going to be are showing it on TV, and they're not going to be happy if the game gets cancelled. So they're going to be putting all their efforts to make sure it goes on. But I think they're still ready, just in case, because they did say they've got a contingency plan, just in case like it doesn't go on. But I think it probably will happen.
Okay,
I'm not too sure, but they are ready.
So assuming it happens, one of the things when I was a coach. My teams tended to be smaller, skilled teams, All right. So whenever we played in bigger, size. More physical teams, yeah, that's what I meant in size. They were smaller, more skilled. You know, we play against bigger, more physical teams. When it rained, that was always to the other team's advantage. All right. So Burnley is kind of a big physical side. However, it's not like we're undersized. We're not like a straight skill team like a Man City, you know, who's so much of their game relies on passing and foot skill, and you know, and so snow and rain a lot of times is an equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we're a team that necessarily relies solely on tight skill. And that, I think we're almost as physical as a Burnley. So yeah. I think that kind of stuff may not be as big of a deciding factor, basically.
No, again, I think it's kind of the I still don't even think we've figured out what we quite are yet.
I agree with that too.
I think it's still like this stylistic clashes, and again, I'm up in the air whether this is going to be to our advantage or to our detriment, really. Yeah. I think, of course, it's gonna prompt defensive players to play more one touch, get the ball out, keep it away from the box type of football, which of course may play into Burnley's hands. But that being said, of course they have improved technically a lot over the last few years, and there's always room for a mistake or a defensive error, particularly when there is heavy snow.
And I think, you know, you were saying about the whole thing with physical teams. I don't think, how many, in that lineup that we just said, how many players have we got that are over 6 foot? When you think about it, I think we've got Keane, Pickford, Sigurdsson, and if he plays, Tosin.
Williams is borderline. He's right at 6 foot. 6 foot, 6 foot one, I think the last time I checked.
Okay, so four out.
Is Neas not over 6 foot?
No, I think he's only like 5'11", something. I think he's about my height.
Oh, right.
He just plays more physical than his size.
I've always thought he'd at least bordered 6 foot, like, because, you know, just himself about well. Man, it works.
Yeah, I think he's sort of like my height, like half an inch off 6 foot, something like that, but don't think he is. I'm not too sure.
Saying that, though, height's not the only determining factor when you're talking about physicality. Yeah. You've got to account for strength there, and I do certainly think we have got some strong players. And, you know, I've recently done an article on Tom Davies, so whenever that's
out,
go and check it out. But what I've noticed, you know, I was looking at more of Davies, and a key part of his game is how many fouls he wins. And coming up against the Burnley side like this, where I don't mean to diminish them in any way, with the weather being like it is, there's a chance, you know, they might just try and hack the shit out of us, basically.
Bit more brutish, so, aren't they?
Yeah, so with that being said, if Tom Davies is in the side, and similar to a man who's recently retired, Stephen Pienaar, quite a bit of trend in his style of play to win fouls, so I think that might work into our hands.
And a big reason why he wins those fouls is because he's not afraid to push the ball forward with the ball at his feet.
Exactly.
So that was, again, what Pienaar did often as well. Both of them not afraid to hold on to the ball. They're sort of anti-Claussens, if you will. You know, Claussens, like, touch the ball, go. 1 and 2 touch football. Mm. But that's what makes him great, but it's just sort of not what we need now. Mm. You know, we need that player who will hold on to the ball and push us forward. And he's totally willing to do that.
When we've got our right manager, which we will talk about later, don't forget to check it out, then I think Klaassen will be able to show that strength better in a way. But
I guess it depends on what we need at that time. So, I will be curious to see if our starters get shifted at all because of the weather, you know, in order to kind of take out some of the smaller players that are more skilled and put in some more pure physical speed finishers. Mm-hmm. You know, Tosin's a one-touch finisher. That is a thing that he does well.
I'm just curious. So, you know the comments that Allardyce came up with recently saying that he doesn't cope well in the cold weather, and the hot weather would be to the benefit.
Dude, but the thing is, Allardyce, we all agree that was total bullshit. Really quick, predictions. Edward, give your four predictions first.
All right, with my heart. See, in my mind, well, actually no. In my heart, I'm thinking we're going sort of like attacking. We're gonna go attacking, so we'll win like 1-0 or 2-1. But with my head, he's gonna go defensive in this game again, so we're gonna lose 2-0.
2-0. Wow. Gotcha.
1-1. Have I took the score?
Max.
I apologize.
Stop looking at his notes. That's cheating.
I agree. I do think it's going to be 1-1. However, I mean, if I think about it, I think it's tougher to score in the snow. So it wouldn't surprise me if it's a 0-0.
It's no.
But I mean, Burnley scores are usually, or sorry, nil nil. Hey. See, Burnley
Yeah.
scores are usually nil nil, nil one, 1-1. That's pretty much the way their scores line up. So, yeah.
Why do I feel like we could actually get something in like the 90th minute? Like we didn't get it against Watford, we'll get it
I'm
against
telling you,
Burnley.
what I want is a Tosun goal late, just to, and I want it to be in the super snow, and I want to be
One
able to
on
shove it
one,
in Big
straight post,
Sam's face and be like, see,
running at them.
Tosun Pasha loves the snow. That's
Yeah.
what I want
Celebrating with
to
Tosun fans.
do. So, yeah, all right.
Pipe dream.
Hey,
Pipe
it's
dream.
fine, but you know what it really is? It's going to be
I'm
Sigurdsson,
thinking
who's
that's his
used to playing in
hat-trick.
cold weather, and he's going to nail it. Yeah.
Aye.
Yeah.
Good point.
All right. Even though Iceland is sometimes a misnomer for Iceland. So, because it's so green.
Isn't like Greenland and Iceland the opposite way around or something like that as
Yeah.
well? It's weird.
Yeah. So, guys, I believe that's it for our Burnley preview. Couple days ago, or a couple nights ago, actually, a story dropped in the newspapers that Moshiri has been planning for life after Allardyce. What the story was basically saying was that Moshiri's got some managers lined up as a possible short list for the summer, is what the assumption is, and that he's not really intending on keeping Allardyce long term. And I literally just heard all of our viewers and listeners do a backflip.
Just at the same time, just go.
Everybody just went town, and now they're off.
No.
So the short list is an interesting short list. A couple of names that everybody expects to see: Paulo
Yeah.
Fonseca, Marco Silva, then a couple of others in Luis Enrique and Diego Simeone. Those are so.
We got any of those too?
So let's talk about this short list, because it's really wide ranging in terms of ambition. So Edward, we're going to start with you. Could you give me what
Again? Ooh.
every time now? All right, that's our new way. Edward goes first. No, so could you give us, don't give me extra details because I may be asking you about that in a second. Who's your top choice out of that four?
Can I do a dream in reality, or am I just
No,
going?
I may be
Oh,
asking you other stuff.
okay.
So your top choice out of Fonseca, Enrique,
my
Simeone, Silva.
dream would be Simeone. I'd
Simeone.
love it if we could have Diego Simeone.
Why?
Well, I think Simeone brings in a new look to the team. He's a world-class manager. Certainly would attract a good quality of players. Knows his way around a football pitch, being a former player. And yeah, I think he'd be a really that next quality up in terms of just being like we're meant to be bringing in this project. I mean, how old is he? He's not too old, is he? He's like 50, something like that, maybe. Not too sure, but so he's still got a few good years and experience at it as well. So he knows what he does and would bring in goodwill.
All right, Max, who's your top choice out of those four, realism notwithstanding?
I think my choice as well would be Simeone, and I think it's worth noting that each four of those potential candidates have won a league title as a manager. But I just think with Simeone, it brings in that ruthlessness that we certainly lacked over the last few years. You know, it also kind of harps back to the grit and the attitude of Moyes almost, and not saying that we'll go completely down that negative route, because he certainly knows how to attack and how to break teams down. I think we brought him up as kind of the prime example of how you want to play if you set up defensively. You know, he has game plans, and a lot of the time they'll come off in a very satisfying manner for the fans. So I think he'd be immediately become a fan favourite. And although I have got my doubts, I'm kind of thinking it's just only a two-man list between Fonseca and Silva, really. But if I was to choose from those four, without a doubt, I think it'd be Simeone.
Okay, and I'll just go ahead and quickly say, if we're living in cloud cuckoo land, Simeone would be my choice. He is ambitious. I love the fact that Moshiri's being ambitious and reaching out to these world-class coaches. That's awesome. I'm glad he's doing it. Ambition is awesome. Simeone would obviously be a friggin' pipe dream and be great. I like the fact that he could come in, I think, and enable us to be able to compete with the big money teams immediately. He's shown he can already do that. He sets up a stout defense. That's what we need. We need to be go ahead and make sure we hole up the leaks in the back immediately. First thing, nail that, and then worry about everything else going forward. And I think he would be the one that would be best at doing that. So yeah, having said that, now let's talk the realistic choice.
Yeah.
Edward, your realistic choice.
This should be fun. Obviously Simeone and Enrique are really out of the question. Enrique's not, well, I suppose Enrique would possibly, but very unlikely. Marco Silva, I know he'd probably still going for, but Fonseca would be my choice because, interesting enough, any Everton fans that comment on the likes of his Instagram and that, he's always liking those comments. So is it showing that he wants to come to Everton, or is he just acknowledging other people's fans? So, yeah, I'd like it if he came. Fonseca, I'd like to see him have a go, but we'll see.
So it's interesting you point out like the kind of general sense of who he is as a person and his camaraderie. And it sounds like he would be the opposite of Allardyce, which is interesting that you point that out. I mean, that reminds me of kind of Martinez's relationship with the fans early on.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that he really cared about the supporters. So that's interesting that you bring that up. That's not the first thing I think of, but that's one of the reasons why we have different people comment on this. Okay?
Yeah.
Max, what do you got, buddy?
Leaning more towards Fonseca, but I wouldn't be adverse to Marco Silva coming in. And my reason for that is a lot of players who have played under Marco Silva has credited him immensely for his man management. And I feel like a really good man manager is what's needed to come into this Everton side to really turn things around. That being said, again, that relationship with the fans really looked like something that Fonseca would engage with, and the style of play that he has at Shakhtar is breathtaking, to say the least, at times. And with the two fullbacks bombing on, it's reminiscent of Baines and Pienaar in the prime. And obviously, it doesn't seem like they're capable of harping up that form again, but obviously, if he sees fullbacks as an attacking outlet, it'd be interesting to see who we'd approach in the summer transfer market. But again, I haven't got a problem with either of them coming in, to be honest, but leaning more towards Fonseca.
My choice is Fonseca as well. I don't hate on Silva the way a lot of people do. I think a lot of people immediately discount him because Hull went down, and because after the stretch where we were trying to bid on him, Watford took a nosedive. Some people think that is a question of character, And it also, they think it's a question of his style kind of wearing thin. There's a couple different reasons on that. I don't hate on him the way a lot of other people do. I do think that he can win in this league. And I do think he would bring a certain, he would bring his own style and personality to.
And he's actually managed to beat Liverpool.
He has. But however, there is the fact that he does tend to fly from job to job. Mm-hmm. Okay, that is something that I feel like Fonseca tends to stick a little longer if he can. Mm-hmm. And that's just a job security thing. I want whoever we get, if they're successful, I want them to stay. I like Fonseca's style, but I don't think it's necessarily a huge leg up on Silva's style. Mm-hmm. I just like the fact that he's built this giant killer in Ukraine. You know, I think that's awesome. They beat City. All right? They beat City and they competed. Oh, they beat was it Napoli? Mm-hmm. You know, another team that plays good football right now. Yeah. He's built this giant killer, and I think with a little bit of help, you know, we're going to be beating some of the top six teams, and then we can go back to calling it, you know, top seven. Which is what I thought it was going to be in the first place this season, and now that I think about that, it makes me super damn sad. So yeah, I like Fonseca. I do like his style, but I mean, right now the end thing is to check out Fonseca's style, you know, and check out this kind of weird. It's not a high press; it's kind of like a medium press, you know, and to look at the way he lines up his team and everything. Yeah, he's a good manager, and he's fun. I do think he's probably a little more fun than Marco Silva. The Toffee Blues Twitter account put out a poll a little while ago asking people which of the four that they would prefer, Enrique, Simeone, Silva, or Fonseca. All right? Enrique got 7% of the votes, which is very low, and I was surprised. Wow. Simeone got 44%. Silva had 4%. And Fonseca brought in 45%. Ooh. People preferred Fonseca to Simeone.
I think people were probably going realistic.
I think they were. I think there was a big element of, let's be realistic here and not go with the big, big ambition.
Yeah. That's actually the order I'd put it in, actually, thinking about it.
Yeah? Interesting. So, yeah, That's what the public says, which is a little different than I was expecting. It's interesting how this was just sort of dropped one time, and it caught on with a lot of other papers. All right? So, possibly leaked to try to keep morale of supporters up a little more?
Mm-hmm.
Would it shock you? You know what I mean?
No, it really wouldn't.
I've heard some Arsenal supporters say that they are interested and getting rid of Arsene Wenger and bringing in Fonseca as his replacement.
That would be a surprise. That would be a surprise.
So just that has been making some of the rounds on Twitter. Just be aware of it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping we already have an agreement with him, though. But you know how those things
work.
Isn't
that technically then topping up?
Oh, technically, yes.
Technically.
So, yeah.
Well, if we want to be one of the top six sides.
So we'll see exactly what happens, what goes down with all that. Oh, really quick, out of those four, are any of those a sound no for you? Not for me. I'm fine. I could be okay with any of those four. Edward, any of those where you'd say no?
Silva?
You would say no maybe to Silva?
Yeah. I just don't like the whole no loyalty thing. Mm. Not a fan of that. So like David said a few weeks ago, once a cheater, always a cheater in a way. I'm not keen on it. I'm not keen on having someone who's not going to be loyal and honor the contract in a way.
You know, and I think I don't think you're alone in thinking like that.
So.
It's something that's in the back of my mind, and it's hard to forget that. But yeah, I still think we're better off with him than Sam, and that's
one
of my big criteria.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Anyone that can put the ball forward, I'm happy with.
Yeah, that'd be new. Away from home. That's the thing.
Yeah, as well, yeah.
But yeah, I guess that's it for Moshiri and the managers. We'll see what happens. This could be a total non-story. We'll see. So, I don't know where you guys fall on this particular subject, but there's been another managerial rumor that's been doing the rounds that has actually been getting some support from Evertonians. There is a rumor that, in October this rumor started. It surfaced that Mikel Arteta was a candidate to replace Koeman. The rumors were that Kinwright was really pushing it. All right? So, these rumors are back now. And, a lot of people are saying they'd love to have him rather than the big Sam. Mm-hmm. So he's currently part of Guardiola's staff, and he's an important part of Guardiola's staff. He's an intelligent former Blue. And I don't think anybody doubts that, you know, one day he'll make a great manager. You know, he's an intelligent footballer. I could totally see it. But there are some drawbacks here, right? So, Edward, what do you think about the possibility of Arteta coming this summer to manage Everton? See,
I wouldn't mind it because, in a way, he sort of like gets the fans. So it'd be a bit like with Martinez, like we were saying before. But it's that whole thing like. If we're going in for Arteta, why aren't we giving Unsworth a chance? You know, they've both not really got much. Well, Arteta's not got any Premier League experience at all in actually managing games. So, in that respect, he needs to have a go at least. Having a go one day with, like, the Man City squad, like, actually managing them proper game before we can even consider him being, like, having a go. Because I don't want Everton to be like the first club to see where he tests out what he wants to do with it, and then he goes on to another club and becomes successful in that. But I think he needs to get more experience first, whether that be behind Guardiola or at another club. Hmm. I'd rather have Unsworth.
Max.
At least he's got experience in management.
Bold statement, but... I agree what you said earlier, though. I don't want to be that kind of experimental club for him where it's his first real experience of managing a Premier League side. I saw the poll on the Toffee Blues Twitter, and I'm just curious if any of the people who voted yes to having him are watching this. Please comment why, because I'm curious. Really, when I'm thinking of the positives in my head, I can think, yeah, right, okay, he's on Guardiola's coaching staff, where he must be held in quite high esteem to have such a role. And also, when he was younger, he was part of La Masia, which, you know, has maybe lesser over the last few years than previous years, lessened reputation, but still, you know, held in very high regard in terms of the quality of coaching that players received there. So maybe he can implement that onto players, but in my opinion, not at all.
Let me explain to people what that poll is. The Toffee Blues Twitter account put out a poll about whether or not people would want Arteta. And again, that's not me, all right? It's a guy in England. His name starts with a J, and there's your only clue. Anyway, 54% of the people responding to that poll said yes, 46% said no, and a lot of people responded to it. All right. Mm-hmm. So this is not like a 12-person poll. This is a big sample. So there's a lot of Blues saying yes. So go ahead, Max. I didn't want to interrupt.
I was just going to say, I know I'm basically keeping up with it, that Arteta's not on the best of terms with Everton fans at the minute, really. There was the incident in the 13-14 season, or the first Martinez's first season, you know, the penalty in the quarterfinal of the FA Cup where he starts grabbing the Arsenal badge, which, again, disrespectful. And he got quite a hostile reception from Everton fans when Everton beat them 3-0 at Goodison. I know Stephen Naismith went through him within the first 10 seconds with an absolutely tremendous foul, and it got met by a lot of applause from Evertonians. And there was also the incident where Arteta was bad-mouthing Ross Barkley to the referee, and Leighton Baines stepped in, started having a go at Arteta. And again, I'd just like to add, because something just popped into my mind there, I remember there was a tweet that did rounds of an Everton fan who saw the Arsenal squad after that game and asked to get a picture with Arteta, and it went like that, because we just beat them 3-0, and Arteta kind of pushes them off. So, you know, I don't know where Arteta stands at the minute with the Everton fans. Of course, I know I've read articles on him myself, and he was very, he was one of my idols growing up almost. Certainly one of the most attractive footballers at Everton during that time period. In terms of how he plays football, I'm just going to say that before anyone puts anything in the comments.
you're allowed to say stuff, Max. It's all right.
He's got lovely hair, though, hasn't he?
So everyone has a man crush.
Maybe that redeems him a little bit. But no, not for me. You need to get someone that knows what they're doing and has been in a similar situation before.
So I think there's a possibility if he came in, he'd do a great job. Yeah. You know, it's possible. But you know something? I don't. He has no managerial experience, you know, as being a first team manager in a first division. He's never been the guy, you know, not even in like championship level, you know? So how much do we value that? Right? Personally, if I'm wanting to hire somebody for that position, I would want someone who has some form of experience, despite his pedigree, you know? And he's and like I said, he'd probably come in and knock it out. But I mean, we're talking about, you know, our goal is Champions League. You know, our goal is to be competing for championships to win the.
Too many people forget that, I think.
Yeah, you know, we are gunning for first. You know, we're not. You know, and so I feel like if we hire him, then there is a little bit of ambition missing, and I probably use the term little bit. Incorrect. I probably mean a lot of ambition missing. All right.
But when you think about it, I mean, no one knows what he could do. So.
So true. That's totally true.
Like swap the story around the other way. He might actually be really good, and that might mean we might be able to keep him for a while, or he's going to be able to bring in a new style of football that no one has seen before, and then we'll. Win more games with him, it'll be a massive gamble.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. Gamble. Which one do you think is a bigger gamble? Someone who's never managed in the Premier League, or someone who's never managed a first team squad but has coached in the Premier League?
Ooh.
Mm.
Because that may be one of our big, you know, decisions.
Yeah. No, I agree. I just feel like the gulf of experience would just be overwhelming, because it's more often than not the managers who are taking the first dip into managerial experience or Premier League football. Saying that, though, you know, that could be the case with Fonseca if he does come in, but I'd feel a lot more comfortable with someone who's consistently achieved Champions League and wins leagues in Ukraine than someone who's second hand at Manchester City. And has never managed a Premier League side.
Yeah. I mean, if I compare him to the other shortlist candidates, the other four supposed shortlist candidates, if it's accurate. Who we talked about in a different video. You should totally go watch that. But I'd have those four, and then I'd have him.
Mm.
You know, and that's just the ones we know about. There could be others.
Call me strange, and I'm probably going to get, ran out of town for this, but I'd rather have Allardyce in instead of Arteta.
No. I don't think it means you have to leave when you have an opinion like that. It just means explain. I'm always a big fan. Like, if you can defend a point, I'm not going to give you a ton
because
of crap
at least
for it.
Allardyce has won games and he knows how to manage players. Arteta hasn't. No. Well. At home, before anyone has a go at me. But he's got more experience with handling players. Arteta hasn't. That is the only reason why I'd still have him in.
He does have about 100 times more Premier League experience in terms of managing.
Isn't it like 1,000? Hasn't he managed like over 1,000?
No, it's a ton. I said like 100, but it's probably a lot more than that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Which prize is thousands?
it just depends on if you think experience is the number one.
I feel so demoralized now. We haven't mentioned Sam Allardyce, I think, for the whole podcast, really. And now the name's been brought up, it's kind of the dark reality that he's
No.
actually our manager. This just it isn't his level. It isn't his level. And I think in reaction to your statement, I'd say no, I'd actually would take the risk on Arteta there because I think Sam coming here has proved that this level is just too much for him.
I continue to secretly hope that if Sam leaves, he goes over and becomes the manager of the US national team. I'm
You'll all be
serious.
loving him. You'll all be loving him.
No, I'm serious. Here's why, because I want somebody to shore up that defense, and he's going to do that. You know? So
Who is it you currently have?
we have no one, Edward. There
Right.
is no, we
Yeah.
only have an interim manager at the moment. There's no like permanent first team manager in. So,
Oh,
yeah.
yes.
And I get to go see them play in a few weeks. So that's
You
cool.
fancy having Gareth Southgate instead?
I mean, yeah, I'd rather have Gareth Southgate. I would. I wouldn't even hesitate there. But yeah, I wouldn't mind Big Sam doing it. I really wouldn't, you know? Yeah. And I don't think I would be the only American football fan.
Fair enough. The
So
gravy train takes us all through the US.
it really needs to be called the gravy train. That is so true. That is
No, no, no,
so
no, 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 no. I've got it. I've got it. He's going across on the gravy boat.
the gravy boat. Nice. You know, that's good. You guys
Well done.
you guys
How's
gravy
that?
wordplay is strong. It's
Yeah.
very strong.
Fantastic.
Anything else on this, guys?
Nope.
Don't really want Arteta, but
Yeah.
what can you do?
Yeah, well, honestly,
We're not in
I still
charge.
don't think he's going to be the guy. So
We're not.
that is it for our Arteta is a possibility question mark segment. But that's also it for the big show, for the pod people out there. If you have been listening via podcast, you're just nice, aren't you? Please subscribe to the Toffee Blues podcast, rate it, and give us, I mean, heck, give us a review. And if you're, if it'd be great if it was nice. If you dig our videos, you know, please subscribe to that. We're over 500. That's awesome. And thank you for that. Leave a comment, all that hot stuff. Tell us what you think about Arteta. That's the thing. Check out Edward's stuff on his YouTube channel, Jam E James. The details are down below. Check out Max's stuff on the Toffee Blues website. He's got a story up there right now on Tom Davies. Also, check out the Toffee Blues website. A lot of analysis there. Check out Toffee Blues on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I think that's all the plugging that needs to happen. Okay?
Innocent looking.
Thanks very much, everybody. And yeah, I guess we'll see you soon. Here's hoping the Blues brave the snow. All right. Bye.